Good morning, everybody. You're all very welcome to our Connect service. It's great to have your company with us this morning as we worship together. We welcome everybody who is joining us online in different places. It's great to have you worshiping with us as well. And today in our service, as we welcome everybody, we're going to be thinking a little bit, continuing to think about the theme of the kingdom of God. And that's what we've been thinking about over the past year in our Connect service. And today what we're going to be thinking about in particular is the idea that the kingdom of God is sometimes a very quiet or hidden nature about it. And sometimes not always obvious, but we have to think about it or to recognize it in our midst. That's what we're going to think about as an idea in our service today. Hopefully you'll have seen the notices on your way into church this morning. I just wanted to mention in particular one or two things that don't happen every week. And in particular, I wanted to mention tomorrow morning at 11:30, the funeral service of Mrs. Daphne Kears is taking place in Kirkwood's funeral home on the King's Road at 11:30. That's tomorrow morning. You'll have also seen, as I say, the events that are happening throughout the week. It's the time of year at this time when we normally renew our register of vestry persons. So if you've never registered to be a member of any other church and you'd like to be registered here, the church wardens have forms that will enable you to do that. And that will entitle you then, if you wish, you can vote at the annual business meeting of the church, which takes place just before Easter. It's called the Easter General Vestry. And everybody is welcome to register. If you haven't registered anywhere else and you'd like to do so, do take the opportunity to do that over the next number of weeks before the register is renewed. Also wanted to mention in advance a couple of other things. Towards the end of this month, we're going to be starting confirmation classes. Very often people who are in their teens would get confirmed in church, and we hope to have a confirmation service probably around May time, I think. But sometimes there are adults in the congregation who've never been confirmed and they'd like to be confirmed. It's like an opportunity to explore faith in a little bit more depth for yourself over a series of classes that will take place usually from towards the end of February until the end of April. So if that's you and you'd like to consider being confirmed, have a word with Andy or myself at the end of the service. We'd love to take your details and invite you to those classes, which will be taking place over the next number of months. But they start at the end of February. Also, towards the end of February, we're looking forward to another messy church on Friday afternoon. That's Friday the 23rd of February. And it's an opportunity for primary school children to come together for a special time of worship and learning and crafts and food. And that's going to be on Friday the 23rd, looking at the theme of light. So there are a few things that are coming up over the next little while. And if you'd like to be involved in any of them, just have a word with us at the end of the service. As we come together into God's presence this morning, we're going to join together in our opening prayer. You'll find the words of that on the screen as we just direct our thoughts and our minds towards God and we pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today, and that each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience. Amen. So we're going to stand together to sing our opening song. It's a song that speaks of God's presence even in the lives of ordinary people. We sing An Army of Ordinary People.
Together we stand.
Let's take our seats. And as we take our seats, we're going to just take a little pause at this point in our service, just to bring to mind maybe those times when we haven't been the people that we know God would want us to be. And that happens to us usually on a daily basis. But let's just take the opportunity to bring those things to mind as we say sorry to God and we seek a fresh start with Him. And we're going to pray together the words that we'll find on the screen. God of everlasting love,
God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We have served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and with one another, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Merciful Lord, grant to all your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The next song that we're going to sing together is a new song to most of us, and the worship group are going to sing it through for us one time, and then we as a congregation are going to join in. It's a song called Ancient Words.
Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
From the start.
Please stand and join us.
Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us go. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age. They knew us through sacrifice, holding the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Please take your seats. And as we think about the power of those ancient words to change our hearts, to change our lives, we're going to take the opportunity now to hear from God's word, and Margaret is going to come and bring our reading to us this morning.
Reading is from the Gospel according to St. John in the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
During the singing of our next song, we're going to invite our children and Sunday school leaders to make their way to Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning to learn about those ancient words. And as we sing our next song, it's a song that really speaks about the hope we have in our hearts for a life beyond this life. We're going to sing together the Hymn of Heaven.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven. The pain is gone, and the thirsty fills the search dreams. Look upon the one who can save me, and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a mighty roar, glory to our God,
let's stay standing as we declare our faith in that God who makes all these things possible for us, as we say together the words of our creed. We believe
in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're going to sit for our next song, which we're going to sing together. It's a hymn that speaks of Jesus. It speaks of his character and his nature. As we sing together in a worshipful way, Jesus, strong and kind.
Jesus said that if I thirst, I should come to him. No one else can satisfy, I should come to him. Jesus said,
Lord, we thank you that as that song reminds us, as we approach you, you are good and you are kind. And we pray that as we approach you now, you would speak into our hearts and into our lives and touch the very deepest part within us by your gentleness and your love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we welcomed everybody this morning, I was reminding you that over this past year in our Connect services and in our life groups that run in different homes around the parish, we have been thinking about the theme of the kingdom of God over this past year. And just as a little bit of a refresher, if you haven't been here for a little while or if you've forgotten, we've been saying that the kingdom of God, it's not a physical place. Like, for example, the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, or we've been saying it's not actually a people, like a tribe, or even like the church. Or we've said the kingdom of God, it's not even like a future state of being somewhere like heaven, though it can include all of those things. But rather, the kingdom of God is essentially about situations, places, and people who all live under the authority of God's sovereign rule. And some writers describe the kingdom of God as almost being like the revolution of God. And because they describe it in that way because whenever the kingdom of God comes to gain traction or to influence people in their lives, it has this transformative effect. And it's almost like, if we can, imagine a world that's led not by politicians or not by the most advanced and significant thinkers of this world, but imagine a world that's driven instead by the values of God. What would that look like if the world was driven by the values of God? That's what we're thinking about when we think about the kingdom of God. And we're going to think a little bit this morning about what that might look like in certain situations. But what I'm keen for us to explore together just for a few minutes is that the idea that the kingdom of God is often hidden. It's not always obvious or it's not always very public, the kingdom of God. And perhaps if we are followers of Jesus, we find that a bit hard to come to terms with, because we're all people, I think, who like to make a bit of an impact or to have a bit of a splash in terms of the eyes of the world rather than be reckoned as irrelevant. And very many people would see the church and Christian people as being irrelevant or having nothing to say into their lives in the age that we live in. And yet the kingdom of God is something very often that's, it's kind of hidden, or it's under the surface, or it's under the radar, and yet it's having quite a significant impact on the world. And in order to explore that a little bit, I want us to think about whenever Jesus burst onto the scene in his public ministry. And when he burst onto the scene, people had various hopes for him. Many people at the time saw Jesus as being a political messiah. They thought that he was the one who would eventually overthrow their Roman oppressors and would liberate them from this bondage of living under the Roman Empire. And then there were some other people who could see Jesus' powers to heal. And they maybe reckoned that this was the direction that Jesus should channel all his energies and his efforts into. And if he went around healing everybody, well, then the world would really take notice and stand up and recognize who he was. But interestingly enough, Jesus himself resisted all of these pressures of other people's expectations. And what was really important for him was to stay first and foremost obedient or tuned into the will of his heavenly Father. And very often we notice in the Bible, after Jesus did great miracles or he did great deeds of power, he would very often take himself off alone. to recharge his spiritual batteries and not to get caught up in the euphoria or the pride of public adulation. And that's quite a challenge when we think about that, because if we've ever done anything that merits public acclaim or recognition, most people like to bask in that acclaim. We like to be told, you've done a really good job there. But Jesus himself would very often flee after he did something significant or important, and he would head off to be by himself and to spend some time with his heavenly Father. And while his deeds certainly captured public attention, there was always something just a bit understated or hidden about the aftermath of all of these deeds. And Jesus often, for example, instructed those who were healed. He used to tell them, don't tell anybody about what's just happened. Or after he had done some miraculous deed, he would head off immediately to another town or another village. So we see that he wasn't seeking the attention. But in another way, what he wanted to do was to leave in some way the fragrance of his presence after he had gone. And so Jesus brought about transformation in the lives of communities and individuals after he had spent time with them. And there is something of that idea within the kingdom of God. So whenever people are pursuing the kingdom of God in their lives, or they're seeking to build the kingdom of God to somehow herald God's glory, it always changes the atmosphere or the way that things are happening around us. And we might wonder, well, what might that look like in our day or in our situation? And I wanted to give you an example that's quite vivid in my memory. But in order to get there, I want us just to remember back a couple of moments ago to when Margaret was reading our gospel reading. And it's a very famous reading that we more usually probably associate with Christmas time, where John unpacks a little bit in his gospel about who Jesus was when he came. And when he was speaking about Jesus, John spoke about the role, first of all, of John the Baptist. And if you remember in that reading, we're told that John the Baptist was not the light, but he came rather as a witness to the light. And whenever people submit, as John the Baptist did, to the authority of God in their lives, and they try to live in a way that's pleasing to God, one of the pressing questions, whenever they consider their actions, is what would Jesus like me to do in this situation? So John's business was to point others to Jesus. So he said he himself was not the light, but he came as a witness to the light. So at every opportunity, he was trying to direct people's gaze towards Jesus. Many years ago, when I was a lot thinner and less grey than I am now, I used to help to run a youth fellowship in a church that I worked in. And every Sunday evening, we used to gather in a couple's home with all the young people, and we would think about God's word together. And we'd usually drink some tea or coffee, we'd eat some biscuits, and we would share a little bit about our lives and pray together. And on this particular Sunday evening, I remember that this girl was talking about her week in school. And she shared a particular experience that she'd had in the classroom when the teacher had to leave the room in order to take a phone call from a parent. And when the teacher was away out of the room, all of the class, as would be fairly common, I would imagine, having been a teacher myself, all the class started to mess around and to slag that teacher off. They were mocking her accent. they were mocking her difficulties in grasping herself, some of the stuff that she was trying to teach them. And when this girl didn't join in with all of the carry-on, some of the class asked her directly why she wasn't getting involved. And she said to them that her faith in Jesus had recently become important in her life. And she said, "I've just been reading about Jesus and I see something really beautiful in his life and in the way that he treated other people." And she said, "Since I've been reading all this stuff and thinking about all this stuff," she said, "I don't think he'd want me to be involved in this conversation." So after she spoke, there was a bit of a silence, as you might expect. And do you know what happened after that? Every single one of the children in the classroom went back to their desks and they sat quietly until the teacher returned. So the kingdom of God might be quiet, it might be hidden in the life of a shy young girl, but it does have a power and it does have an authority that is transformative to the people around us and to the atmosphere in the room. Over this past week, my Bible reading devotions have been written by a Christian from Iran. And did you know that the church in Iran is among the fastest growing churches in the whole world? But Iran is also a place where Christians are fiercely persecuted. And confessing faith in Jesus in public, it's almost unheard of, because it can lead to imprisonment and even death. And yet Christians are meeting in secret in Iran. They're sharing their faith with their friends, with their families, and it is having a very significant impact. And the writer of my daily devotions wrote in one of the devotions during the week that one of the reasons why the church is growing so fast in Iran is that they do not rely on a few full-time ministers to do the work of ministry. He said, no matter what their story or their background, there is a conviction that every single person has a part to play. Every single person is an evangelist. And he said, often it's the most unexpected of people who are the most fruitful. An uneducated woman who was abused and overlooked as a child has led over 20 members of her family to Christ. A former drug addict has witnessed to over 100 other addicts. Or a policeman who used to arrest Christians is now taking risks himself to share Jesus with others. And he wrote about another man who was bedridden with injuries sustained in war. And it seemed that this man could do nothing to advance the gospel from his bed. But from his bed, he began posting about Jesus on social media. People started to get in touch with him to ask questions. And within a few months, 29 people had come to Christ. And so as we draw our thoughts to a close this morning and we think about the kingdom of God and how it's often a hidden thing and yet it has the power to transform the room, to transform our environment, to transform society and the world around us. I wonder, what are the quiet or hidden ways that you and I might be able to leave the fragrance of Jesus around us as we follow in his footsteps and we seek to build his kingdom in our day? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of your life. And thank you for the way it had the capacity to change others whom you came in contact with. Thank you that you dwell in each one of us through your Holy Spirit. And we pray that wherever we go, whatever conversations we might have, that somehow we leave your fragrance behind us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand together to sing our next song, and it's a song called Ancient of Days.
Come before him, all of time is
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today for the way that society starts to change as people live under your authority. And we pray that you'd help each one of us to make that a priority in our own lives. Help us to live for you and to allow you to influence our thoughts and our words and our actions. We pray for the whole process of making new disciples in our own day. We ask for your blessing this morning on our Sunday school teachers, on our life group leaders, and on all who seek to share their faith at work, at home, or in schools and universities. May your kingdom grow and expand in influence in our land and across the world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we think of the kingdom of God, we pray for all who formed a new government yesterday in our land. We pray for courage, inspiration, and wisdom for all who were elected to ministerial office. And we pray for the capacity to work together to overcome personal and party differences in order to work for the good of all. We pray too for the resources and the investment that's needed to build a stable infrastructure for good government. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray this morning for all who are quietly sowing the seeds of your kingdom in places where that's challenging and it's difficult. We pray for those who witness courageously in prisons, in challenging workplaces, in challenging family situations. Raise up, we ask, a new generation in our own church, a new generation that will discover and share faith in a powerful and relevant way to the community and to the world around us. Lord, in your mercy. And we want to pray for all who are facing tough times at present. We pray for all who are battling serious illness and for their families. We pray that you'd help them to deal with fears or anxieties and to experience your peace. We pray too for the bereaved, and we remember especially the Keir's family circle on the death of Daphne. We ask that you would comfort them and be with them in their time of loss. We pray too for all who are feeling exhausted and overwhelmed by challenging situations or circumstances. And we ask, Lord, that they would be encouraged by your presence and also by your people, even people like us. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers today, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our next song is a song that speaks of God's presence and his power, even in those moments that are really difficult for us. As we sing together, "You still reign and you're still God." So as we entrust our future to God and we prepare to go out into the world, we're going to share our closing prayers together. You'll find them on the screen, and they remind us of our call to live as God's people in the world. We pray together. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And as we bow our heads for God's blessing, may Christ the Son be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Let's sing our closing song, These Are the Days of Elijah. Send us out today in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Amen.